Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, Dad's Point of View. I want to thank my son, Arnie Salin, for introducing me to that wonderful parody of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit by Weird Al Yankovic. It's my producer and I are looking at each other and just cracking up. Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is our guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California for the last 6 years, and he's also finishing up doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and Pastor Drew is an avid surfer, among other many skills. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, great to be back.
We have so much we can talk about. Given that this topic is spot on what you do at the church, I would first like to just open it up to you and at the same time pose the question of how many households you know have multiple teens, and maybe what's the biggest household of multiple teens you're aware of?
Yeah, you know, you asked me that on the break, and I've been thinking about it. I think in our current congregation, the most in a family that has teens is four.
And, four teens at the same time.
Four teens at the same time. They actually have six kids.
Oh, wow.
And I believe one is in college. There's four that are teens, two of them being twins, and then there's one, I think, that's about 10 or 11. So, boy, no two kids are alike.
Okay, there has to be, in that family, one of the parents is home.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, there is no way they could be doing that on a single home, a single parent at home, I mean.
Yeah, and really, as I watch that family navigate through the teen years, I see that the older teens actually play a big part of helping out around the house with, laundry and cooking, household chores. Really, it's the only way they can do it. Mm. It's like that old Brady Bunch kind of mentality that we're only going to get through this if we all pitch in together.
Well, how did families survive in the past? They survived by having enough kids to take care of the farm. And to do the chores. It's obviously so different today with the procreation rate in Western civilization being actually less than two per couple, therefore less than recreating or repopulating your country. The U.S. has actually got the highest birth rate of any Western civilization right now. I mean, Europe and Australia, England, and the U.S., we actually do like 2.1 or something.
Yeah,
but, which is just break even compared to third world countries that probably do 22 per family.
And then add on top of that, in history past and in other places around the world, you have extended family living with you too. Aunts and uncles, grandparents, they're all pitching and helping out.
And then we're helping them.
Exactly.
As they get older. I mean, it really was a beautiful system. It was narrow. It was small. I mean, some people never moved literally more than a dozen miles from where they were born. Ever ventured out of a certain range. So obviously the progress of humanity is good and bad. Speaking of progress of humanity, as we have regressed to Occupy Wall Street, I'm really curious, what, if any, discussions you've been a part of at the church and what your teens are saying about it?
Boy, it's interesting how social media is such a easy way to get a quick snapshot of the state of what public opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I was on, there was a handful of students commenting on it, and it reminded me that, boy, teenagers are so good at identifying and pointing out when people are inconsistent. And the reason why I say that is...
You mean there's inconsistency with these protesters?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The clarity of message. The organizational skill in bringing their iPhones to the protests. The fact that they have so many sleeping bags to sleep on the grass so they can ruin all the grass. It's incredibly well organized. What are you talking about?
So, yes, it is very well organized. However, it's really interesting what they're saying. They're saying, okay, you guys you're protesting the executives on Wall Street who make a lot of money. Why don't you protest NBA stars? And movie stars and musicians.
I think they should protest their parents who are paying them to go to college at $50,000 a year and who bought them the car and are paying them the credit cards to buy all the food that they're giving out to all the protesters.
Exactly. A handful of students actually said at the very end of their rant on Facebook was, don't blame others for your poor spending habits.
Whoa! I love it!
This is coming from a high school.
Oh, this is so cool. But this is a high school... A community that has a community. a church. There's something called values they may be getting exposed to. Something really radical. The Ten Commandments. Oh my God.
Which is getting rarer and rarer.
Yes, we're not allowed to post them anywhere because it's much better to have just freedom of speech and for just the people that you want to have freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Which is the way it seems to be on most college campuses, which is why I often assert that sending your kids to college is potentially meaning you're going to have them come back brainwashed to hate you. So
so many different avenues we can go through there.
But I'll let you run with it.
But it is interesting, though, you know, in this world where we have access to news on the minute as it's happening. Even Gaddafi, we found out, has been purportedly captured and killed, and that's going all over the internet, and people responding to it. And you know, the teens are, in some ways, have such a good pulse on what's happening around the world that their eyes are even more open to the world that they're going to enter into as adults, because many of them are already entering into it because of social media and the walls that have been broken down.
So I, of course, never do politics, but I heard something on the way up here today that I thought was really, really scary. And it basically said that Gaddafi was certainly no good guy, but he had been, because of the downfall of Saddam Hussein, he had been basically scared into being moderately cooperative with the U.S. So he was not really as bad a threat to the U.S. as before. The guy who was just overthrown in Egypt, whose name I forgot, the prime minister of Egypt, he was also Mubarak. He was also moderately favorable to the U.S. Now we have Iran, which we know how much they love the U.S., Syria, Lebanon with the Hezbollah, and then, of course, Hamas controlling a lot of Palestine. And so what is the lesson? What they said that's so interesting is if you're at all nice to the U.S., you're in big trouble. So the lesson may, in fact, be, you know, the worse you are off, the more you're going to survive. And I'd never even thought of it that way. And I just wonder, again, let's just get off the politics because it's just on my mind today. Are the kids aware of what's going on?
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting. I feel like when I was growing up, I was a teen in the 90s, and I know that dates me there. But
dates you as young.
Yeah, politics was something my parents talked about.
World news was something
my parents talked about. That was like a foreign world, and now here students have such access to everything that's going on. In some ways, they help spread the news in many ways through their social networks, through their posting and their liking on Facebook. They're right in the thick of it. So
do you think they're more politically aware, seriously?
I think that they're more aware of events that are happening, but I think they're more aware in an avenue of the channels that they're getting their information from. So let's say kids love Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they can't separate Stephen Colbert, you know, who's doing a parody on news in a sense, in a comedic way, to Charlie Gibson, let's say, or you know, Peter Jennings of Fast. And so it's interesting hearing students.
Interesting. So you're saying they don't know the difference between reality and humor half the time.
Yeah, even in just with reality TV shows,
right.
TMZ, all these different things.
Right.
You know, I think they're more aware of events, but they might have a more skewed or inaccurate view.
Or they may not really just have the context to understand it. I think because they're getting it all in sound bites or in very, very limited doses.
Well, that's a great point.
And
we do hear them repeat those sound bites out of context.
Well, look how they all got aboard the whole Obama campaign. Just hope and change was basically all they understood and a really nice poster.
Yeah, so now catch words and catch phrases.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Believe it or not, we have zoomed out of time. Where can my listeners find you, Pastor Drew?
Well, I've been blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
Wewillsinganewsong.com. Pastor Drew, this was way too short.
Too short.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I just love speaking with you. So thank you, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Well,
we will be back, hopefully, with special guest Britt McCallion for a special edition of The Women's Room.